So, all right. Well, I'm going to pray again for myself as we dive into the message. Father, I thank you, God, for your word. Your word is truth. And God, we submit ourselves to your word. God, I pray, God, that your word says it's good for doctrine and correction and reproof. And God, we receive that from your word this morning, God. Correct us where we need to be corrected. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So we are doing this series, and I don't know what it is about this series, but we've been talking about the title of our series is Get in the Fight. Get in the Fight. And so we've been talking about this, and if you haven't been to any of these series, basically what we've been talking about, I told the story of when I was a kid and my encounter with a blue tick coonhound that would harass me every day on my bike. And one day I stood up to that dog, and I'm not going to put the picture again up this morning, but I punched that dog right in the mouth. And, you know, as a way, and it was an illustration, it was a true story, but also an illustration of how we need to stand up to, we need to get into the fight. We need to push forward. We don't need to be just people who get run over by the enemy. Amen? You got to stand your ground. Stand your ground. Everybody say, stand your ground.
Stand your ground.
Stand your ground. And so I told that story, and then the first week I told it, Linda Willoughby comes to me, and that's very Sunday, she gets bit by a dog and has to go to the ER. I mean, you went to the ER? Where's Linda? Where is that? Yeah, so you had to go to you went to urgent care, right, urgent care. She had two big, gigantic fang marks in her forearm, and it was just crazy. It was a vicious attack. You know, that dog was really, it was a vicious attack. And then so last week, you know, I kind of said the same thing. I'm not really going to show that picture of the dog and all that. But you know what? We got a call this week. And Rebecca, show your hand, Rebecca. Rebecca got bit by a dog this week. She was walking a dog, and that dog reached out and bit her, and she had to go to ER and get stitches in her hand because of this. So I am done. I don't know. I'm not doing ill. So my next illustration is this one day I won the lottery. Amen. Everybody receive that. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, man. So basically we've been talking about how, you know, we need to stand in. Mike tells me, calls me, and tells me, I gave the illustration that, you know, sometimes you save that $1,000, you do the Dave Ramsey thing, you save that $1,000, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you need new tires from your car. And then I got a text, and sure enough, Mike needed new tires for his car. It's like, all right, I'm done. So, lottery. So basically, you know, we've been talking about these things. We've been talking about the fact that you do need to stand against the enemy. You do need to resist, right? You need to resist the devil. And we need to be people who fight back, right? And so we talked about the fact a couple of weeks ago that there are two kingdoms. There is a kingdom of God, and there's a kingdom of our enemy, right? There's not one kingdom, right? There are two kingdoms on this earth, and they war against each other. Matter of fact, in Colossians, it tells us that Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves," right? So he's brought us out of one kingdom and put us in a different kingdom, right? You were once a part of the enemy's kingdom, and now you've been transferred, if you will, into the kingdom of God, right? Of kingdom of Jesus. And so we talked about those things that through God, and we talked about last week, we talked about the fact that scripture in James 4, it says, "But he gives more grace," James 4 and verse 6, "for wherefore he say, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble," right? He gives grace to the humble. So we talked about the fact that we've talked for years, right? If you've been a charismatic at all, ever, if you've ever been to a charismatic church, they probably mentioned this scripture, right? That you have to submit yourself to God and resist the devil. But the emphasis has always been on what? Resist the devil, right? And we forget about, so last week we talked about the fact that we have to submit ourselves to God. And we submitted ourselves to God by humbling ourselves, right? We talked about the scripture that said God resists the proud, right? And gives grace to the humble, right? The power of grace. We talked about the grace last week. If you missed it, it was really good teaching last week. But thank you, Lord. But it was really good. We talked about grace, right? Grace is not just some ethereal thing. There is power in grace. Amen. Grace is working, God's working power in you to do what He wills in you. So salvation grace, right? There's grace that you can operate into the gifts of the Spirit, right? Grace that helps you live life with power, right? You can live grace, live by grace. But you don't get grace automatically. You get grace by humbling yourself, right? Matter of fact, the Bible says God resists the proud. How many of y'all want God resisting you? I got a lot of people resisting me. I don't need God Himself resisting me. Amen? Amen. And so, but He says, but He gives God's grace to the humble. Then He says, humble yourselves, therefore. So we've talked about the fact that it's our job to humble ourselves. That's not God's responsibility for you to be humble. Well, I get really just God really humbling me. Well, that may be true, but the better way to act that out is that you humble yourself. And you humble yourself by doing things God's way. Having God, you know, God is still God, and we are still not. And His ways are His ways, whether you like them or not, right? And so we need to submit ourselves, bow our knee, or as one brother told me last week, or to put ourselves under Him, right? He's the boss. He is Lord. We said it in our small group the other night. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all, right? So we need to make Him Lord. This submission thing is not a side issue. It's not the one of you things you say, well, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, right? No, it is submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and He will flee. So if you're not submitted yourself to God, forget resisting the devil. You have to be submitted. You have to be submitted to God. So, and we talked about that extensively last week. This week, I want to start delving into, and we will do it 2 weeks, I want to start delving into this matter of resisting the devil and resisting as we talk about getting in the fight. So if we're going to be people, now that you are already submitted, we can move on to resisting. So in order to realize and to understand how to resist the enemy, we're going to need to know what the enemy's up to, how the enemy is working, what areas in our lives is the enemy working, how does he have things that he does? Well, he does, right? 2 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 10, it says, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan may not outwit us. Everybody say outwit. Outwit. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Everybody say schemes. The enemy has schemes. He has schemes that he uses against you. Remember we talked about the devil. He has his mission statement, right? To kill, to steal, and destroy. That's what he's after 24/7 against not just your neighbor, not just your unsaved friend, not just the person next to you, not just that person in ministry, but you. He is actively trying because, so if you've accepted Jesus, right, now you're a threat to him. So he's actively trying to push against you. He's actively trying to destroy God's plan for your life. He's actively trying to destroy you physically, right? He's trying to steal away God's life that God gave freely, right? That's what he's trying to do. But he has schemes that he uses to get these things done. So just as an example, a few years back, there was this football team. I'm not going to say any names. But a few years back, there was this football team that I did that for the Monroes. A few years back, there was this, football team that was caught, right? They were caught. And Kaylin's a Patriots fan as well. Sorry, welcome. So thought this is my going away present to you. So there's this football team, they got caught videotaping the opposing team's practice. And what they were doing is they were stealing the signs, the signals, from the sidelines so that they could use them so they would know what the team was going to do in the game, right? So they could steal the signs and figure out what they were going to, how they were going to, they were cheating. Cheating. Just let that soak as we think about what they did to our Falcons a couple of years ago. Maybe it wasn't all what it was cracked up to be. Okay, you can take that. Take that down. That's disturbing the Spirit of God for... But they were cheating, right? They were stealing signs. They were stealing signals. Wouldn't it be great, though, if we were able to steal the devil's signs and his signals and his things, and we would know what he was up to before he even hiked the ball, as it were. We knew what he was going to do. Well, that's what I want to get there. We can, because the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us what his schemes are. And so we're going to talk a little bit this morning about his schemes. And so the first thing that we want to talk about is the fact that our enemy is a liar. Is a liar. Liar. Jesus himself said this in John 8:44. I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. He says, you belong, just Jesus telling it like it is to people. Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil. Yeah, it wasn't really the seeker-sensitive Jesus at that moment, right? You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out the father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own native language. I like that from the NIV. He speaks out of his own native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. The enemy, one of his greatest tools, probably his favorite tool, right? His favorite play, if you will, is lies. Lie, basically a lie is a deception, right? It is something that is spoken that's not true. It is spoken that's not true. It's a lie. So when he speaks of a lie, it's interesting that Jesus says, look, when he speaks of a lie, he's not stealing it from somebody else. That's from his own. Like, we know that God is God of truth, right? That God is love. Well, the devil is a liar, as the t-shirts say and as their memes say, right? The devil is a liar, right? He is a liar, and he's the father of them all. And what he tries to do in us as believers is to try to make us think on things that aren't true. He's a deceiver. And let me tell you something. He's really, really good at it. Because some of those deceptive voices, they sound a lot like our own. They sound like, oftentimes they sound a lot like our own voice. The I'll never amount to anything. I'll never be able to forgive. I'll never be able to fill in the blank, right? I'll never be anybody that raises above this area, this plateau of quote-unquote success, whatever that is. I'll never be someone, there's not really greatness in me, right? And those words, they sound so much like us, don't they? But they're lies. And he speaks his lies into you. And if he can speak those lies long enough to you, and we don't take captive the words, and we let them sink down into us, they become a part of who we are. Right? Yeah. Well, I'm just an angry person. I'm just angry. You know, I'm just not somebody who will be successful. That's just not who I am. Okay. Those are lies that we take, and they become strongholds in you. They become like your own, they become the essence of kind of who you are, because you've taken those lies and you've dropped them down in here. Well, some of you are like, well, I didn't really finish high school, so I'll never really amount to much. Right? Some of you are I don't know if I really have. Some of you guys are like, I don't know if I have what it takes. You know, you see those guys, like some of those guys we see in the movies that are they just jump in the middle of the firefight, right? And like inside, some of you guys are like, I don't know if that would be me. I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I have what it takes to have all this new responsibility on your job put on me. I don't know if I have what it takes. And you receive that, it becomes reality in you. And it begins with the lie of the enemy, who still speaks. And it's real, and maybe those lies came from parents, or maybe those lies came from best friends, or maybe those lies came from whoever. Maybe it was a boss. And you believe those lies, and those lies are now a stronghold. Now those lies are keep you at a certain level. And you say, I'll never. See, the enemy is really good. Because listen, or maybe it's like, I can never really be an example of Christ in my job. Or I can't really be, you know, I just don't have that. Those lies. Because the Word of God says that God, when you open your mouth, God will fill it. God says that you can do all things through Christ that gives you strength. But the lies, man. The next thing he does is he blinds people's eyes so they can't see the truth. 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 3, it says this, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age," we know who the God of this age is, right? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The God of this age is the devil, right? Make no mistake. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The Bible blinds people's eyes. You say, what is wrong with our culture? What is wrong with people who don't want to believe in God? What is wrong with people who don't understand the things of God? You're like, somebody said at our small group the other night, they said, I don't even understand. Like, why would you not want the Ten Commandments in a court? Like, those are pretty basic, really good things to, you know, display, you know. It's probably not a good idea to, you know, kill, right? I mean, a lot of these things are really good, great ideas. But but our culture and the enemy has blinded the eyes of people. Don't be shocked. Guys, listen, don't be shocked at what you see. Don't be shocked at what you see. Because the enemy blinds his eyes. Like people that you share the gospel with, that you try to, you know, tell them about Jesus, or maybe you try to influence them and try to, you know, ask them about things, and they just turn off. Understand that that's just not a normal, that's just not a something that they're doing. It's the enemy that's blinded their eyes. We are in a supernatural world. We have to open our eyes to the fact that we live in a supernatural world. Not everything we see is just natural. Not all this stuff that we perceive is just natural things. There are supernatural things going on behind the scenes. Amen. And we have to understand, you know, that changes the way you pray. It changes the way you pray for parents, some of your kids. It changes the way you pray with your coworkers. Got to pray. So then you say, now I know the scheme. I'm getting ahead of myself. Now I know the scheme. I know how to pray. I'm going to pray that the minds of their eyes be enlightened, like the Word says. That they would know the hope of their calling. Now I know how to pray, right? Because the enemy is blinding their eyes. Some of you, like when you became a Christian, some of you became a Christian in such crazy ways. It's so great to hear your stories. You're like I didn't even know really anything about the Lord. I just started, you know, it was like blinders came off my eyes, like in a moment, and I just believed, right? I had a friend of mine. I was talking to him just the other day, and they were just having some trouble with the, you know, some of the hard things, you know, quote unquote, hard things of scriptures, right? And he goes, you know what? He goes, I just decided that I'm just going to believe just no matter what.
Amen.
And I went, that's the blinders coming off. Amen? Blinders can come off. They can blind you to the truth. And our culture is blinded by philosophies, right? False religions. Self-defined right and wrong. We're blinded by these things, right? The next thing he does, James chapter 1, verse 13, he tempts us with sin. When tempted, Verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after this desire is conceived, he gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. Like each one of these, I could spend like a while on each one of these things, but I'm trying to get to a point. So this part, right? So he says, in these things, God says, no, God doesn't tempt anyone. That's the enemy. Now watch how the enemy tempts you. He tempts you by your own desires. Yeah. By your own desires. He's drawn away and enticed by your own desires. Right? Those fleshly desires. Those things that you really want, right? And let me say, some of you, listen to me close, like, about this. Some of you, so there's a big, like, drinking is drinking wrong and all that stuff, right? Some of you should not even look at alcohol because you know that's your spot. That's your weak place. That's your place that all you have to do is one. And one turns into 12, right? And you know that's your weakness. What is the enemy doing? He's taking your desires in the flesh, tempting you to draw you to what? Death, destruction, kill, steal, destroy in that area. Right? Yeah. Some of you, some of us, you like when you talk about the sexual sins and all that kind of stuff that goes on, like you need to understand. It's not just the devil. There's some desires in you that are unhealthy. And the enemy will use those things to draw you. And he tempts you. This is mixed company. I'm not going to tell some of the stories I have for my own life. Right? Just so, I mean, because God will, it's so crazy what the devil ever had. I'll say it as this. You ever had one of those things where the devil like tempts you and you feel like he just showed his hand? Like that is way too far. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like there's times where the devil just oversteps his ground. You're like, that's the devil. I need to back off, right? You know what I'm saying? Like there are things that like will hit you, right? And all of a sudden you are like you're first drawn and then you're disgusted and you're like, wow, that is the devil. He just overplayed his hand. Like the devil, but the devil is always out. Why? Why is he trying to do it? So he can get that area of influence into your life. Because if he can get you to sin, he can get his control. And the enemy is always out for what? Control. Yeah. Control. Why could the devil not tempt Jesus? Why could the devil not control Jesus? Because he was without sin. Why was the devil, the temptation was so important for Jesus' life, and I'm sure even throughout his life, temptation, right? Because if the devil can just, I just want control. And if you've ever battled addiction, if you've ever battled any kind of life-controlling issue, if you've ever battled anything in your mind, you know the power of addiction. You know the power, you know the lack of power that you have. You have none. Right? I don't know what it was. I just started drinking a little bit, and next thing I know, I can't stop. Amen? We got to watch this stuff. In a culture where right and wrongs are up for debate, right? And is there a right and is there a wrong? And is there absolute rights and absolute wrongs? In a culture of that, we need to be careful. Understand sin is still sin. And sin will grab control of your life. And he'll use it whatever little way. And all he's looking for is that little crack. I just want a little bit of control. And he'll control you through that sin. But you're enticed. He entices you. Right? Out of your own desires. Right? There's things that the devil can tempt me all he wants. That's not going to affect me. But how many of you know there's other things? Amen? Sin. We have to be careful. Understand we're in a battle. And then, what else does he do? He steals the word. He steals the word. Mark chapter 4, Jesus explaining the parable of the sower. He says, Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? Well, how then will you understand any parable? The Father sows the word. We're talking about this, the sower, right? And some people are like the seed that fell on the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, everybody say, as soon as. He hears it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. I'm just going to look straight ahead. As a pastor, I'll preach on things. And then I'll have people call me and tell me. And what I want to tell them is, were you not listening? You were there. I think you were even amening. Why is this, where is this disconnect, right? You know why? Because the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. So what are we supposed to do? It says, receive with meekness, the scripture says, the engrafted word that's able to save your soul, right? So we should receive that word. Like, don't you know, like, you ever, I mean, you go like Monday and you go, man, church was great. Man, pastor had a great word. It was really awesome. And somebody said, oh, really? What did he preach on? You're like, yeah, I don't even remember. Yeah, it was really good, though. Understand, and I'm not saying that's always the enemy, right? That's just, some of us are just, Understand, you know what? That's why the Bible keeps telling us, do not be a forgetful hearer, right? Jesus said, have you not heard? Remember how many times Jesus said that? Like, so the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. Immediately to steal the word. That means right away. That means without, you know. Actually, the parable in that talk, he says when the sower goes out to sow the seed, the Bible says that the birds come immediately and grab it. You know, if you ever been at a park and you throw bird seed, well, you'll probably get kicked out of the park. But if you ever throw bird seed right out and there's a bunch of birds around, or seagulls. The seagulls are the best. You got a French fry and a seagull, you got a band, you got a flock of seagulls. So, oh, come on, that was funny. A flock of seagulls. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Or you have a scene in whatever that movie is. Mine. A French fry and a seagull. It is like throwing a French fry down on the beach. That French fry is laying there for like a half a second. That's the illustration what he's talking about. Those seeds thrown on the ground, immediately the birds come and grab it. Understand, like there is a battle. Like when, as I give out the word, and as you read your Bible, and as you listen to podcasts, and whatever you do to grow yourself spiritually, as God himself speaks words to you, understand that the enemy will come immediately and try to steal it. Immediately to try to steal it. He steals the word. The next thing he is an accuser. He said in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and power and the kingdom of God and authority of the Messiah. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night has hurled them down. The enemy, I need to get going. The enemy hates God and all that God is, which means he also hates God's mercy and his forgiveness that extends towards sinful humanity. Satan is the accuser and stands before God to attempt to somehow lessen God's love or diminish God's mercy. Have you ever had that experience in your life where you feel like the lessening of God's mercy and lessening of God's love over you? And where does that come from? It comes from the accuser. You're not who you say you are. You're not who God says you are. Look at you. Look what you did again. Look how you've fallen into that thing again. Right? So the accuser, he is an accuser. He's also a murderer and a sickness. We read that scripture in John 4 where it says, you belong to your father, to the devil. Because he was a murderer from the beginning. But he also can be the author of sickness. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10 says this, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said, woman, you are free from your infirmity. And he put his hands on her, and immediately straightened her up. right? It says that she was crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Some sickness, not all, some sickness can be spiritual. It's not always just natural, right? Some sickness, you can have what we call a spirit of infirmity on you. A sickness, a spirit attached to that. But the good news is, in all these things, we talked about these, so we listed out all of these schemes, right, of the enemy. I want you to listen to this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Very familiar to Scripture to a lot of us. It says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." The schemes. What are we supposed to do? Supposed to take our stand against all of the enemy's schemes. We've just listed a few of them. I'm sure there's more. It's the power of God that destroys strongholds, according to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. We don't wage war according to the way the world wages it. But our weapons are mighty through God, right? 2 Corinthians 10 says, to the demolishment of strongholds. Listen, it is the power of God that breaks these things. It's the power of God that comes against the enemy. You are no match for your enemy on your own. Just like David was no match for Goliath on his own. You are no match for him. And let me tell you, in our culture, but be careful, it's not positive thinking. It is not mental gymnastics. It is not mind over matter. It's the power of God that destroys the power of strongholds. Amen. You can have counseling, and we encourage counseling in this church. But counseling will only address what's there. It's the power of God that breaks that stronghold. It's the power of God that delivers you. Yeah. My son is here. He'll remember this. My son, about a year and a half back, he's like, "What in the world are you telling?" I'm like, "I owe him money." We used to have a thing where if I talked about him, I owed the money. So he might take me up on that this morning. Because poor pastor's kids, they always get, "My kid, let me tell you a story about my son." So poor kids. So, but my son was had a time where he was really, really, he was sick, like at night. You remember that, Wesley? Yeah. He was really, really sick at night. And this went on for weeks and weeks. And he would sometimes he would get so nauseous. And sometimes he would throw up, sometimes he would dry. It was just awful. And we prayed, we did everything, we took him to the doctor. And then sometimes it would seem like it was getting better. Remember that? Sometimes it would seem like he was getting better, and man, it would be right back into that same pattern of just being sick. And man, I remember, I'm a poor kid, I'm home remedying him stuff, I'm feeding him, what do you call that stuff? Yeah, white wine vinegar, it'll make your best stomach face. He goes, "Dad, that's making me sick just drinking it." We're doing everything we know. Like, we took him to the doctor. The doctor went, "Oh, he'll be fine. Thanks, doc." And that'll be $50. Wow, hey, come on. But we tried everything, right? And then, it was right around the time you went to Honduras. And so he went to Honduras. He was fine in Honduras. And when he came back, it started back again. And he went, we had some people stay in his room about a few weeks before that were, people. We'll just say there were people. And we're not really sure about where they are with the Lord. We'll just say that. I shouldn't say that because they're right here. So, and they stayed, some of you are going, "I never stayed in his room, too. Did we ever stay in his room?" No. We just didn't know. But watch this. We were praying, Julie and I were praying, and we said, "That's demonic. There's a spirit going on here." Because watch this. We prayed. And we're believing people, Julie and I. We prayed. We called Jessica Fields. Said, "Hey, Jessica, why don't you come over, and we're going to pray over our whole house." Remember when we did that? Why are you laughing? We prayed over the whole house. They're figuring out who it was. I know that's what they're doing. So we prayed over the whole house. We prayed over his room. We prayed over his bed. We took oil. We anointed his doors. And you're like, "Wow, that's radical." Yeah. Because you know what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. So that means a lot of times, if that makes sense to you, maybe I have to think about it, right? They're mighty through God. So we went around and we put oil on his door, we put it on his bed, you know, and we went all through the house, we prayed over it, we bound the devil over our home, we reclaimed our house for the Lord, we committed our house to the Lord. God, we sanctify this house as a place of your presence and you. God, we sanctify this place as a tool of the kingdom of God. We resist every power of hell out of this home. As we're going, we're praying in the Spirit as we go through the house, we're casting the devil out. Get out in Jesus' name. Go in. We're not going, please leave. We're going, no, go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Come out of our house in Jesus' name. This is the place of God in Jesus' name. You know what? He quit getting sick. All I can tell you is it works. All I can tell you is every sickness a devil? Nope. But be tuned. Be tuned to the Spirit of God. Right? Be tuned to the Spirit of God. Sometimes you have to get radical. Most of the time, you have to get radical.
Amen.
I've had all I can stand. I'm not standing anymore. I'm not taking this anymore, devil, in Jesus' name. I know who I am in Christ. I know what Jesus' blood and his power on that cross is not in vain in my life. I will utilize every drop of redemption that that cross paid for me. I will be who God says I am. I will take the authority that God's called me to do in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You take it. Don't just wait for it. You take it. We prayed. We prayed. Guys, listen. We prayed. God, heal our son. God, take care of this. God, he seems to be getting better. No, now he's getting worse. We went through the whole faith weirdness, right? And that whole thing, we're going, am my faith working? Am my faith not working? We got a word from the Lord. It's demonic. I know how to take care of it. Do you know why? Because Julie and I and Jessica and a lot of you, most of you, know the devil's schemes. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So what are we going to talk about next week? We're going to talk about the weapons of our warfare next week. This is going to be a lot better. I'm not glorifying the enemy anymore about what all he does. Next week, y'all are going to miss it. We're going to talk about the weapons of our war. Now you can listen to it on podcast. You can steal it, Philip. You can steal it. The weapons of our warfare. Listen, I want to build. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it.
Right.
And that's not, listen, that's maybe that word picture somebody said in our small group, I'll steal it from you and then I'll give you credit if I remember who it was. But that's not like you think of the gates of hell or they said it like this. They said it's not like the gates of hell are on wheels like going at you, right? No, this is the gates of hell. Like you can go and plunder the gates of hell. No gates of hell can prosper against me.
Right.
God has given me authority, and through his name, I have power over the enemy.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And it's up to me to exercise it.
That's right.
Amen? Listen, I don't know what your background is. I don't know what you've been taught before. But guys, listen, that's the Word of God.
Yes.
It's the Word of God. You take your stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Right? You have power. That's why I tell you. Why do you say, I can do what God says I can do? Because I want it to sink in you. Because I know that the enemy will rob it right out of you as you leave the parking lot. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. I am not ignorant of his schemes. I know it. I know he's a liar. I know he's an accuser. I know he can bring sickness. I know that all the other stuff I said. I know what he does. Amen? You're not triggered. I am not unwise to your schemes, devil.
Yeah.
I know what that is in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand together.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. It's time for us to rise up in power and be the people of God who God's called us to be. Maybe just have Craig. Craig, why don't you just come up? We'll just. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then you're going to have strongholds. You're going to have strongholds break. You're going to have strongholds break, and you're going to pick up that head of the enemy and go, look what God's done. And you were carried all through the camp. The Bible said that David carried that goofy head of Goliath for like 2 days. 2 days. That's gross and amazing all at the same time. Like as a guy, like some of you guys are going, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. Man, like it just lights your fire. Some of you women are going, that's gross. Like I'm dropping that head. I'm stomping on it. Like, you know. But David picked it up and ran around with it. Right? I'm taking the head of my enemy. Listen, you take that depression, you tell it who's boss. You take what the enemy's trying to do to you, and let me tell you something, you fight back. Don't just sit there and let it happen in Amen. Jesus' name. Say, I am who God says I am. Say, I can do what God says I can do. Say, I'm the head and not the tail in Jesus' name. Through His blood, I have authority. Say, no weapon fashioned against me will prosper. Say, I stand against every scheme of the devil. Just tell him. Just say, devil, I put you on notice. Not to me, you don't, devil. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless.